Just all those different things. So Lord, I do pray that you would just continue to just convict us to be more like you. I thank you for the study in Jonah that we've been going through. I thank you for just some of the things you've been showing me of late in the Word and just all the different things. And so, God, I do pray for the event that we've got coming up at Doug and Pam's and with just all the things that go into that. Sometimes it's good. We all love our kids, but sometimes it's good to get away without the kids just for a few hours and just laugh and have a good time. And so I do pray for that. I pray for all the moving parts with that. I pray for youth camp this week. It's one of the just kind of the biggest things that we do as the youth at HBF, and kind of everything builds up to camp, and then everything just kind of glides down off of camp. So we do pray for all the logistics with that, with the food and all the travel, the different things. I pray that the Word of God is preached just in a very bold way that is real and practical, Lord. And I just pray that you get the glory for all those things. And so I do pray for Joe Hendricksman and it's just the passing of his brother. And Lord, we know that you've got reasons and purposes for everything that you do, and I just pray that you would just be real in that. And so there's a lot of things I'm missing, Lord, but I just pray you'd speak to us today as we get back into your Word. And I'm just excited about it. I'm excited about what the Word of God can do in our lives. And so Lord, I just pray you'd speak to us in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, if you got your Bibles, open up to the book of Amos. Yeah, I know. Just for a day. Just one day. So I told you guys I'm actually going to be out for the next couple weeks. We finished the first two chapters of Jonah. I'm ready to get into Jonah chapter 3, but as you know, it's impossible for me to teach more than, well, there's no way I could get through what I need to get through, and so I don't want to start it and then wait 3 weeks before I come back. So this is actually really good. If you're looking for the book of Amos, if you know where Jonah is, flip forward just a few pages. It's not too far. So it's one of those books that most people are like, I really don't even know what the book of Amos is about, right? It's a minor prophet. Most of you guys have been saved for quite a while, and you've read through a lot of the Bible several times. You know, some of you read through the whole Bible a lot of different times, and I've read through, I can't even tell you how many times I've read through the Bible. And then there's certain places in the Bible that I've probably read, you know, some of the books in the New Testament, you know, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. But I mean, I couldn't even tell you, 50, 60 times. I mean, there's times I'll read them multiple times in a day. And so, but when you get into the minor prophets, a lot of times the people are like, yeah, I just don't like those. And we're taught to not like them. And I don't know who taught you that or who taught me that, but it's just weird. And so, I'm reading through the Bible in a year. I always typically read through the Bible in a year, plus this different study and then things that I'm doing. And so where I'm at right now, and I actually don't just read from beginning to end usually. The last few years I've done a different study. But anyway, where I'm at right now is in the minor prophets, or at least most of the minor prophets. It's kind of a chronological read. So anyway, just all details. And so I just want to tell you, like, the whole purpose of this is a lot. This today is just kind of like some daily devotion stuff that God gives me, right? And so usually you guys don't ever get this stuff. Usually this is just stuff that I ponder on, I think on, and I move on. You know, you should always be in the Word. You should be, you know, hearing from God. But a lot of times you just keep those things for yourself. You just meditate on them and different things. But there was actually some thoughts just in this past week as I was reading through the book of Amos that I'm like, there's so many parallels to the book of Jonah, right? And so Jonah and Amos were probably contemporaries. When I say contemporaries, they were probably at least alive at the same time, right? So we're not, you know, talking hundreds of years in between their lives. So just kind of know where we're at. And so we know that in the book of Jonah, God's like, hey, Jonah, I want you to do this. And he's like, yeah, how about no? I don't really want to do that. And so I'm probably not going to do that. And God's like, okay, well, that's, you know, your choice. And then he runs away. And then and God's like, well, I said it was your choice. I didn't say I was going to just let you have a good time doing it. And so you know how Jonah chapter 1 went. You know how Jonah chapter 2 ended up, where there's like this great repentance in the heart of Jonah. And we talked about the difference between worldly repentance and godly repentance and all of that. And so that kind of whole thing tied into, as I was reading through the book of Amos, and I'm like, this dude's nothing like Jonah, right? This dude, like, he's just completely different. And so today, as we go through this, and I only have today because I'm going to be gone the next couple weeks, and I'm not going to finish this in a couple weeks, so we're going to get through it. These are just seven things that kind of popped out to me And these are just daily devotions. I don't care if you write these down. These are just things that God was showing me, and I've just kind of been bouncing them around in my head. And then the way that they compared to the life of Jonah was what really convicted me, because I've been spending so much time in Jonah, getting ready to teach and just all of that. And I'm like, wow, there's some really cool stuff here. So just seven things that, you know, really kind of jumped out to me. And I'm not going to read a lot of this. Amos is just a dude, right? He's just a farmer, a shepherd, whatever you want to call him. He's just doing life. And God comes and he's like, hey, I got something I want you to do. And why don't you tell these people this? And so it's a little longer than the book of Jonah. You can't read it in just a few minutes, right? And it's not like one of the major prophets. They call it a minor prophet. I know this might be groundbreaking information to you. It's not because it's like less impactful. It's just a smaller book, right? Ezekiel's a major prophet because it takes a major time to read it, right? Like, it's long. This is a shorter book. And so Amos is just a farmer and he's going through it. And so if you want a title today, and you'll find out later why this is the title, the title would be The Prophet or the People. The Prophet or the People. And we'll get to why that is the title anyway. So today may seem a little more random, but that's what these are. These are just random thoughts that God had gave me. And as I sat down and I put them down, I'm like, there's some really cool stuff here. And so let's just pick up in the beginning. Amos chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the words of Amos, who is among the herdmen of Tekoa. Okay, so he's a farmer. He's a shepherd. He's doing the thing. Which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, in the days Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. So it's kind of giving you the time frame, what's going on. I don't have time to do any backstory for you guys. You'll have to do your own study in your own time. These are just devotional thoughts, okay, of what's going on. And he said, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. And so basically God says, hey, I want you to tell some people this. He doesn't say which people. He just says, I want you to tell them. Okay, well, if God says, hey, I want you to tell somebody something, who are you going to tell? Well, probably just the people you're around every day. That would be the most logical people. Like, he didn't say to go to a certain place, so I'm going to go to these. And so for the first several chapters, it's just, this is what God said. And if you want to know, just kind of, it's not good news for Israel or Judah. Like, it's not good news. It's like, hey, y'all have been off the mark for so long that I'm going to have to do something, is what basically God's saying. It's, you know, I liken it to this, and these are my devotions, so you don't have to, you know, track with me. But it's like, you can only travel in a car with your kids in the backseat for so long, acting like complete hoodlums, before you're like, do I need to pull over and take care of something, right? And I feel like some of these minor prophets books is God's way of saying, I'm going to have to pull over if you guys don't figure something out, right? This is his way of saying, now, those aren't God's words. These are, you know, me. These are my devotional thoughts. Hey, I'm going to take care of this if you guys don't figure out what's happening. And so he kind of goes through all the things like, this is not going to be good for you. But anyway, the first kind of thought, and this is one of my favorite thoughts, and this kind of happens throughout the Bible, but man, if you can't get this, you can't get this. But the first one is, God will use normal people to get his word to normal people. Now, I meant what I said. He will use normal people to get his word to normal people. God, he's not always looking for, like, the most trained or eloquent speaking person in the world. Now, I understand we go to a church where there's a lot of structure in place. You know, it's kind of like lattice. If you want things to grow, give them something to grow on. And, you know, the sky's the limit at HBF if you want to grow and to learn. But you know what? Sometimes God just wants you right where you're at. This is what I want you to do. Like, there's no training mentioned. There's no title. It's not like, oh, this is Amos, the prophet from this guy, and he's the son of this dude. And it's just Amos, the farmer, right? It's just Amos, the dude. There's no title, right? Telling those he's already around. He's not like, oh, God wants me to tell somebody something. I better go and sign up for a mission trip so I can go tell them, right? A lot of times that's what we do. We're like, oh, I really feel convicted. I need to go and do. Well, if we really feel convicted, we're going to do right where we're at before we ever go and do anything else. It's always crazy to me that somebody's like, oh, I feel like God wants me to be a missionary somewhere. And I'm like, well, that's really interesting. Do you know what they do there? There's a lot of evangelism, right? There's a lot of the things that you don't already do here. That's interesting that God would call you to do that when you're not already doing it here. No, I'm not speaking for God. I just said it was interesting, right? I've had those conversations with people. I'm just like, huh. Wow, that's cool. Maybe you should start here. I don't know. But he's just telling those he's already around. God says, hey, Amos, I want you to tell somebody something. It's kind of like with Jonah. Hey, I want you to go tell these people. And instead of, you know, being like Jonah, Amos is just like, you didn't really tell me who to tell, so I guess I'll just tell the guys I'm hanging out with, right? I guess I'll just tell the guys I work with. I'll tell the guys that, you know, I'm doing my things with, right? This is what I do. He's not waiting around to be sent. Man, that kind of like grates on my skin. There's people that are like, oh, well, I've been trained up, or oh, I've done all the right things, or whatever, and they're like, now what? Well, I don't know, now what? I guess get busy. If God hasn't sent you, like, if God hasn't said go, then you probably ought to do what it goes back to what I always have told you guys in past point. Do one thing well. And what that means is, like, what is it that God told you to do? Do that until God has so inexplicably come to you and said, okay, I want you to do something different. Not because you want to, not because it's like, oh, that looks sexy over there, I should go try that, or that looks cool, you know, it's going to be warmer there, or that looks okay, I like that. Did God tell you to do it? Because if he didn't, then you need to keep doing what he told you to do until he tells you to do something different. Because if not, you know, you're just a went one. You're not a sent one. And you know what happens to went ones? I could give you some examples, but you would cringe because it's not good. Right? And so he's not waiting around to be sent. He's just like, all right, well, this is what God said to do. It's not really a great message. You know, it would have been better if I could have been like, hey, this is going to happen. It's really awesome. But, you know, the cool news is, like, the message we get to tell people, it's actually a really good one. And we still don't want to do it. Right? We're not even telling people, hey, you're going to die. Like, you're living like hell. We actually get to go and tell them good news and we still don't want to do it. I don't know, man. But he uses normal people just right where they're at to get his word to normal people. Right? And so it doesn't mean that you might not be called to do something great, but you know what? Get your focus off of doing something quote unquote great, because what God is telling you to do right now is great. The people that you talk to on a day in and day out, that is great in God's eyes. We got our thinking's all messed up. Fast forward to chapter 4, because I got to get to the end of this, because the end of it's where it's really good. And so anyway, the first three chapters, or actually the first several chapters, he's just like, hey, this is what's going to happen. It's not good. You guys have been doing this. God's not happy with it. You probably ought to maybe try this. Oh, you guys have been doing this. God's not happy with it. It's like over and over again. All these different things. You get to chapter 4, towards the end of it, going into chapter 5. So in chapter 4, starting in verse 12, it says, therefore, so he said all this, like, you guys are basically living like hell. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Like, that's harsh words. Like, you guys have been living so off that you need to prepare to meet God. For lo, he that formeth the mountains and createth the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought and maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. And then roll into chapter 5. He says, hear ye this word which I take against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. He's like, I heard this from God, I'm telling you. The virgin of Israel is fallen, so shall she shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon the land. There is none to raise her up. For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went on out by 1,000 shall leave by 100, and that which went forth by 100 shall leave by 10 to the house of Israel. Verse 4, for thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. Oh, there's some hope there, right? But seek not Bethel, nor unto Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek ye the Lord, and ye shall live. Right? Seek ye the Lord. Here's the second, just kind of, this thought is, God's message doesn't need to be hard. Right? Too often we're like, we got to know the next great thing, the next great way to go, you know, do this. It's just basic. Seek ye the Lord and he's going to save your soul, right? Too often we're like, well, you don't understand my family. You don't understand the people I work with. You don't understand, I guess you don't understand the word of God, because it's the same message from the beginning to the end. Seek God and he's there. Stop trying to make it so hard, right? Amos doesn't sugarcoat the message. He's not like, yeah, God told me this, but it's going to be hard to hear, so maybe let me dumb it down for you. He's just like, hey, you better figure this out. Because you're about to meet the Lord, right? And he's like, but here's the deal. If you would just seek him, you'll find him. He doesn't sugarcoat it. He doesn't, this is what we do a lot of times. He doesn't change God's words to fit his agenda. Well, this will really fit into what I'm trying to teach. And so, like, he's just like, hey, this is what it says. You better figure it out or it's not going to be good for you, right? This isn't even like a message to him. It's just like, you guys got to get this figured out. Usually the most impactful message is a simple one. You know, usually the most impactful thing that you can say to somebody is just something really basic. You know, where are you at with your relationship with God? You know, sometimes it's not that, well, you don't understand the death, burial, and resurrection. I understand. That's the gospel. We have to get the gospel to people. But at the end of the day, like, where does it meet in their life? I remember when my brother was lost. He's, you know, pastor in a church now, but I was so convicted about him. This was right after I got saved. I was just broken because I really respected him, and I knew that he needed this. And I'm like, man, you've got to get a hold of this thing. And so the best way I knew how, which was not very good at all, I'm like, man, you need to be saved. And he's like, oh yeah, I did that. And that's where most of us would be like, oh, okay. And like, I did my thing, right? I tried. I said something, right? But it was like, I couldn't just let well enough be alone. I'm like, oh, when did that happen, man? Tell me about it. Like, sometimes you just gotta put people's feet to the fire. Like, if this really happened to you, I can tell you when it happened to me, man. Like, when did it happen? And he was so caught off guard because somebody had actually asked him, like, face to face, like, tell me about it. When did it happen? They're like, the dude made an appointment to get saved the next day. I'm not kidding. Like, he's like, what do I need to do? And I'm like, I don't know. I was so young in the Lord. I'm like, I honestly don't know the answer to that. You should go talk to Pastor Brian, right? Like, I didn't know. And so he asked him, swear to this day. Like, he calls the office, he makes an appointment, he walks in. Brian's like, okay, what are you here for? He's like, I need to get saved, right? It doesn't usually happen like that as a pastor, so let me tell you. People don't just knock the doors down to come in. But sometimes a simple message, it's the most impactful, right? It doesn't say that he tells these people they need to do this, this, and this, they need to clean up this, this, and this. And they're like, what does it say? He says, like, you guys are about to meet the Lord. He says, you better seek him so you have a chance to live. Seek the Lord, man. Like, that's what, and so I'm reading this, and I'm like, all right, so God's sending this guy to tell these people this. He sent Jonah to these other people, and Jonah didn't even want to go. Like, how does this all tie together? Because in my brain, I'm always trying to connect the dots, and what's God really showing me here? And so I'm just, again, random thoughts I'm just throwing out there. Fast forward to chapter 7. And this is where it starts to get interesting. It says, thus saith, verse 1, thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, he formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting of the ladder growth, and lo, it was the ladder growth after the king's mowings, and it came to pass that when he had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is so small, and the Lord repented of this. It shall not be, saith the Lord. This is the first time, 7 chapters in, that Amos actually talks back to God. Not talks back, but asks questions. Before, it's just like, this is what he said, this is what he said, this is what he said. It wasn't until now that he's like, but wait a minute, God, that doesn't completely line up with what I know to be true in the Word. And then he's like, okay, well, I won't. And then verse 4, and this the Lord God showed me, and behold, the Lord called to contend by fire and devour the great deep, and he did eat up a part. Then said I, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. And the Lord repented of this, and also shall not be, saith the Lord God. This is the first time that Amos actually asked questions. And so the third thing that I'm just kind of randomly thinking as I'm reading through this is, God desires for our relationship with him to be two-sided. And a lot of us don't get that. He wants our relationship with him to be two-sided. We go to the Word, hopefully daily. I mean, some of you, maybe it's more than daily. Some of you, I don't know how often you read, but if all you're doing is hearing from God and hearing from God and hearing, I mean, that's great. God will give you things. But at some point, like, there needs to be a conversation. He's a living God. I've been saved for a long time. I haven't heard the audible voice of God, right? I think it might happen someday. Probably not, but there's been times in this book that I've asked questions so specific that the answer that jumps out off the page is actually more real to me than the audible voice of God. It's because it's a two-sided relationship. I've asked things so specific, so intimate, and the things that he says back to me right on time, I'm like, wow. I don't like the audible voice. I would have been like, where'd that come from? Right? Did that really come from God? But I don't have to ask when it comes from here. It's so real. Right? Amos, He talks to the Lord. He actually has a conversation with him, right? We call that prayer, if you didn't know, right? We actually pray. He asks the Lord the hard questions. It's okay. Sometimes in the culture that we live in, and I'll even say, even in the church that we go to at times, we think that, oh, you shouldn't be able to, not be able to, but you shouldn't ask questions of the Lord. You should just accept it. I'm not jiving with that. You can ask the Lord the hard questions. Why did this happen? Why did you allow this, right? It's okay to ask those things as long as you have the mindset of he's God and you're not. And you might not like the answer. And you might not get an answer right now. But it's not like taboo to say, well, why did God allow that to happen? Like, that's a terrible thing. Why did this happen? Like, it's okay. Why did that marriage end? It shouldn't have. Why did that child die? Like, it's okay to ask the hard questions, because you know what? When you ask the hard questions, you get like some really, you really get to know the heart of the Lord, because he's answering your questions, right? He asked him the hard questions. We don't, somebody needs to hear this, because I've been asked this question a lot of times, and I've never completely knew, like, on the spot how to answer it. But this will be my answer from now on, because God gave me this. And we don't pray to change God's mind. We pray to know God's mind. Right? God's mind is, like, he is intimate. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's got to figure out. We don't pray to change God's mind, but we do pray to know it. Right? I don't have to like the answer, but I do have to understand that he's God and I'm not. Right? And I don't pray to change God's mind. I don't go to him to say, man, if you would just do this, this, and this. Right? And it's okay to ask God for things and to pray and to beseech him and all those things. Right? God, heal this person, this, that, and the other. But you're not praying to change his mind. You're praying to know his mind. Because when you're asking those questions, he can actually answer you if you're in the book. It's crazy. Pick up there in verse 10. Because this is what happens. Like, maybe you've been tracking up until now, but this, everybody can track with this, okay? Let's just pick it up in verse 7, I'm sorry. I didn't read far enough, I'm sorry. So let's just, I'll read through this. So anyway, thus God showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line. I'll explain this in a minute. Where a plumb line in his hand, and the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? It's interesting that when Amos starts asking questions, now God's speaking directly to him. Like there's a conversation going on. This ties into what I just told you guys. And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people, Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. And the high places of Isaac and shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. So this goes back to, like, when you ask questions, now God's going to actually have a conversation with you. This plumb line, this is back before, I can speak to this because I'm older than I used to be, but nowadays we use lasers, right? If I want to make sure things are plumb and whatnot, I've got a laser for that. I've got a laser for that, and I've got a laser for that. I've got all this, you know, but back in the day, when I started doing the things that I do now, we used what we call the plumb bob on a plumb line. It's like a heavy weight, and so that's how you got your, we used to lay out basements, and that's how we got it established, right? Now you use a laser for it. But anyway, what he's talking about is basically a straight line. There is no deviation in it. There is no gray area in it. You're either on this side of the line or on that side of the line. And he's telling Amos, these people, they either need to decide what they're on. Are they on my side or are they not? Because you can only play games with God for so long before you're going to get burned. That's just what happens. And then here's what happens. Because when you actually present people with something like this, it offends them. Right? When you tell people, hey, there is no gray area. You're either on with Jesus or you're off, right? You're either walking with him or you're not. There is no, you know, yeah, kind of, or yeah, I go to church. I didn't ask if you went to church. I said, do you have a relationship with God? Do you actually follow the Lord Jesus Christ, right? When you give somebody a straight line, whether it's a laser or a plumb level or whatever else, like when there is an absolute standard, it offends people. And that's what happens. Verse 10, then Amaziah, the priest, so this is a holy dude, right, of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, the king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel, and the land is not able to bear all his words. Basically, he's tattletaling. This guy, he's causing an uproar. He's telling people that if we don't get things figured out, we're all going to die, and this is not good for me. This is going to hurt my business, right? I'm supposed to be, you know, working in the temple here. This is definitely not going to be good for you. The people don't know what to do. He's trying to set an absolute standard. This is not going good. So what's he do? He runs to the king. For thus saith Amos, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, so he goes and he tells the king this, and then he's like, well, I haven't heard back from the king yet, but I'm going to do something on my own. I'm going to I'll take care of Amos. He says, in Amaziah, say it also to Amos, O thou seer, meaning prophet, right? If you compare what that word means, seer means prophet, go, flee thee into the land of Judah. Get out of here. And there eat bread and prophesy there. Go there. It's better for you there anyway. Get out of here. Nobody wants to hear what you got to say. I'm tired of hearing it. They're tired of hearing it. Get. Right? That's basically what he says. But prophesy no more at Bethel, for it's the king's chapel and it's the king's court. Don't be coming up into the church saying that God's going to do this. We're God's people, right? That's basically what he's saying. Stop. I don't like what you're saying. It's making me uncomfortable. It's making all the people actually think for themselves, right? We don't need that around here. And the fourth thing, just kind of thought, that there will always be people who oppose you if you're doing what you're doing. If you're doing, there will always be people who oppose you. I can't read. I know what I wanted to say, and it's not that. There will always be people who oppose what you're doing if what you're doing is for the Lord. There will always be people that oppose what you're doing if what you're doing is for Him. It doesn't matter. Don't be surprised. Now, this is interesting. To see friendly fire. It's not from the lost people that are like, hey, I don't really like what you're saying. It's from, what's it say? The priest of Bethel. This guy's supposed to be the holy dude, right? He's supposed to have a relationship with the Lord. And he's like, you need to get, man. Don't be surprised if it. Don't be surprised if the things that hurt the worst in ministry are the people in ministry. I hate to be like that. But also don't be surprised if the best things that happen in ministry are the people in ministry. That's how it works, guys. Like, don't be surprised if it's friendly fire. Guess what? The Lord said that's what was going to happen. If it happened to Him, why would we think we're any better? Right? Stick with Him. You know, Brian always says friction brings traction. You know, if there's never any friction with what's going on in ministry, then what are we even doing? And let me just, telling the truth doesn't make you the bad guy. The world we live in says, you know, oh, if you're going to stand with Israel, if you're going to, you know, take a stand with the Bible, if you're going to have an absolute standard, then you're the bad guy and we're going to, you know, cancel you. Nobody wants to hear you. Get out of here. Nobody likes it. Like, I'm not saying anything. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Like, don't be mad at me. I just picked one thing that I wanted my standard to be. And instead of the rest of the world that says, oh, well, I like this over here, and I like that over there, and I want a side of this over there, and I want that for dessert. I just said this was going to be my standard from beginning to end. I'm not just going to pick and choose. I'm just going to, from the beginning to the end, this is my standard. Right? I don't hate the sin. I hate the sinner. I don't hate the sinner. I hate the sin. Right? It is what it is. We live in a messed up world. Right? People come over, you know, for whether it's for counsel or for discipleship or whatnot, and they think that, like, when they tell me what's going on in their life, that I'm going to be like, oh my gosh, you've got to stop doing it. You know what my answer usually is? The world we live in is messed up. And it's not surprising that we would get caught up in it. The question is, what are you going to do from today moving forward? How are you actually going to live holy in an unholy world? Because if not, you're just going to be caught up in it. You're just going to be rung up in it. And guess what? The world will chew you up and spit you out, and you won't even know what happened. At some point, have a standard. But telling the truth doesn't make you the bad guy. Right? The world says it does, but it doesn't. And that's not even what I'm trying to get to. We got to keep going. Number five, verse 14. Because this is the best response that anybody could have had in the Bible, right? This guy just came up, was like, hey, you got to get out of here. Nobody wants to hear what you got to say. And I told the king, and you're probably going to be killed because I told him. And here's what Amos has to say. Then answered, verse 14, Amos, and said unto Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy now unto my people. I was a nobody. And God said, hey, that's who I'm going to use. He's like, don't be calling me holy. I'm just telling you the truth. Now Amos is a little bit hacked off. You ever been hacked off? Right? Because it happens. It's okay to have a righteous, godly anger. Right? It's okay. And he says, now therefore, hear the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. He's like, if you really want to know all of what God said, I'll tell you. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be a harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and the land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land. You really want to know what God said, Amaziah? Here it is. I was trying to be nice, right? I was trying to just like give you what you needed to hear. But if you want to know all of it, this is what he said. Like, don't be mad at me, man. I'm just telling you what it says. The fifth thing that kind of just jumped out, it's not about who we are, but instead who we are in the Lord. And this passage right here, I've got it underlined, I've got like notes. I don't have a very big Bible, right? I've got notes in my margin and just about this one passage, and I don't do that very often, but like this right here, it's not about who we are, but instead who we are in the Lord. I can read my wife's mind the way she's looking at me. The world is looking for our credentials. Where did you go to school at? What degree do you have? What authority do you have to tell me anything, right? The world wants to know, you know, what are your credentials? The world wants godliness somewhere else, right? He's like, yeah, take your godliness and go down the road, but don't do it here. The world's the same way. I want godliness, but I want it somewhere else, right? The world wants us to lose focus and to scare us and to say, if you're going to be like that, then nobody wants to be around you. But yeah, you know what? The Lord is looking and calling those who are busy with the small things and feeding the flock. That's what I've got written in the margin of my Bible. And that wasn't from the last time I read. This is from some other time, some other year that God was speaking to me. But the Lord is looking and calling those who are busy with the small things and feeding the flock. Amos wasn't a smart dude. He was a farmer. He wasn't a prophet. He's like, I'm not even a prophet's son. And God's using me. Why? Because he's just busy about God's work. Just doing the things. Right? You want to know why God's not using you? It's because you're not just busy about the small things. You're wanting the next big, great thing to happen through you. And, you know, just get busy about the small things. Feed the sheep. Feed the lambs. You know, take care of those things. And you'll be surprised at how much all of a sudden you're in the middle of. Number six. This is where I really want to get. Chapter 8. Verse 11 and 12. God says, behold, you've heard this passage before. You didn't know it came out of Amos, but you've heard this passage before. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread or thirst for water, but of hearing of the words of the Lord. We hear that all the time, and, you know, a lot of times we take that and we're like, you know, that's why we got to stick with our King James Bible, because they're trying to corrupt it and they're trying to do... I get it, man. Amen and amen. I use the King James Bible, right? Get off my back about it. I'll never teach out of anything different. I'm also not the guy that's going to kick you in the teeth if you're reading something different. Like, I'd rather you read something than in nothing, right? I'd rather you have a pocket knife in a sword fight than nothing, right? Now, give me a chance and I'll tell you why you should use a sword instead of a pocket knife, but that's up to you. Like, that's on you. But that's not what this passage is even talking about, so I'm not even going to go down that. That's not what it's trying to say right now. It's a picture of the rapture, what's coming. Who tells people about the Lord, right? Especially in this time in the Bible. They didn't have a Bible to hold in their hands. They had a little bit of Old Testament law. But then, so he says, if there's going to be a famine of hearing the words of the Lord, what does that mean? That the people who actually know it are going to quit telling it. Well, that's interesting, because there's a small group of people in the world who actually know it, and there's going to be a time when they can't tell it. That's a picture of the rapture. When we get raptured out of here, the people who actually know the truth for what it is are going to be gone. And there will be a famine for the Word of God. That's a picture of what's going to happen, right? And so the question I really had for myself is like, am I like Amos or am I like Jonah? God says, hey, Jonah, I want you to do this. And he's like, nah, I don't want to. I'm not feeling today, God. Send somebody else. And he's like, I'm just going to run away. I'd rather die than do what you want me to do, God. You're tracking, because we've been through Jonah. Like, and he's making it all about himself. And instead of God using Jonah to go and reach the people, God is instead, now I'm not saying that God can't use other people. God actually does use other people. What I'm saying is, in Jonah's life in particular, God could have used him to reach the world. But instead, for so long, God was using all of Jonah's life to deal with Jonah. And he was using all of Jonah's life to deal with Jonah. There was a lot of time in my life that he was using my life to deal with Jason instead of actually getting out and reaching people, right? But then you got Amos on the other hand. And Amos is just like, all right, if that's what you want to use my life for, I'll go. I'll tell him, whatever, right? I'm just a normal dude, but fine, if that's what you want to do. And am I taken out early because God is having to deal with the prophet instead of the people? Right? And when I say taken out, I mean like when it's talking about we're taken out of the war, right? We're taken out of the battle. We get raptured out, or maybe, you know, you're just living such a sinful lifestyle that God's like, well, you invited the lightning bolt in your life, so don't ask questions why. Right? And there's some of us that know what exactly what I'm talking about. You're living such a sinful lifestyle and you think you're hiding it that, you know, you wouldn't even be surprised if the lightning struck. What I'm saying is like, are you out of the battle? The spiritual battle? There's a lot of people that you work with. There's a lot of people you go to school with. There's a lot of people that you're around every day that God's like, hey, I want to use you to reach them. Like, that's the battle. I want to use you to reach them. But instead, every day of your life, God is using that day to deal with you, to deal with you, to deal with you, to deal with you, because you can't get over yourself. And at some point, like, be like Amos and not like Jonah. Don't waste all this time. Now, we know that God finally used Jonah and he ends up being bitter about it anyway. But like, at some point, make it less about you and more about what God's wanting to use you for. Like, I wasted a lot of years of my life just trying to get over myself. And like, is God dealing with the prophet or the people? Now, I'm not saying that because he's dealing with you, he can't reach those people. Go to Jonah. We saw he reached the people on the ship. He ends up reaching all the people, but it was in spite of Jonah. It wasn't because of him. And so the question is, like, is God using all the time in my life to deal with the prophet? That's what we are, even though you don't like to hear that. That's what you are. You're a prophet. You have the word of God. You're supposed to go and tell people about it. Is God spending all of the time in your life dealing with the prophet, or is he actually able to reach the people through you? Because it's one or the other in your life. It can't be both. I'm not saying that he can't reach the people because of you. I'm saying he'll use somebody else to do it. Is God having to deal with the prophet, or is he able to get to the people? Because that's a real question. And that's like, as I'm reading through this, I'm like, that was for me. Right? And so the last one, I don't have time to really get there, but you can read it on your own. In chapter 9, verses 9 to 15, always, 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 God's got a restoration plan. It never ends with, well, because you suck, it ended, right? It doesn't end that way. It's, hey, there's still hope, right? And God, he says, like, I still have a plan. He's like, I'm going to sift you like a sieve, if you know what that means. Like, it means that we're going to get rid of all of the unnecessary, and all the good's going to be right there. And I can tell you all stories about that. But anyway, you know, the baby's not thrown out with the bathwater. He gets rid of what is unholy, and he keeps what is holy. And at the end of the day, God is always got a restoration plan. Go to the end. He's like, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake. This is verse 13 in chapter 9. The plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of the grapes shall, him that soweth the seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and the hills shall melt. And this is the Lord talking. He says, and I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink of the wine thereof, and they shall make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And he says, and I will plant them in their land, and they shall no more be pulled out of their land, and I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. He's like, I will do it. I will do it. I will do it. It has nothing to do with you. It was me anyway. Are you a part of what God's actually going to do? Or are you so caught up in trying to figure out how to even get over yourself that God does the work? The question is, like, are we in the way? And that's, I ask myself that all the time. Like, there's a lot of things happening. There's a lot of things that are happening that I'm like, I don't really like that. I think that's messed up. I think we should do it this way. I think we should. At some point, you just need to be like, all right, God's got a plan. It doesn't say that Amos is going to do this and Amos is going to do that and Amos is going to finish it. The book ends with, he says, I will bring, I will plant, I have given them, saith the Lord. God takes care of it. You just really got to decide, am I in or am I out? Right? Which side of the plumb line am I on? The world wants to say, oh, there is no standard. I'm telling you, the standard is in your hands. And at some point, if you don't get on board with it, then you're not getting it. You're just not getting it. There has to be a standard. There has to be a truth. And it has to be you. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for just devotional thoughts and just random things. These things were for me, Lord. But as I compare them to the book of Jonah, and I mean, God forbid that we as a class or we as a church or you know, we as the church would be so caught up in ourselves and the things that we want and the things that we think we deserve and the my rights and my, that we would just be in the way of what you're doing. God, you're going to reach the people. We know that. But God forbid that you have to do it through somebody else because we're in the way. I mean, God, we see what you did with Jonah, and we see that you will heal us and use us, but like, I want to be the reason that people are getting saved, not like in spite of me that that is happening, Lord. So I pray that you would just convict our hearts, that we would just figure out what it is in our life that is keeping us from being all tripped up, and that we would just get real with you and just lay it down, Lord, because at some point we've got to get serious. At some point we've got to say, I'm in or I'm out, because you're not playing games, Lord. The Word of God is true. And so I just pray you would convict us, with all the things we prayed about earlier with the youth camp and all the things that are happening this week. There's a lot of moving parts. I pray you get the glory for all of it, and that you are just really speaking to us. I pray that we do have good, intimate times in the Word of God, that you're just giving each and every one of us things like this, that we can just walk with you and know that you're using us, Lord. Send us out as lights in a dark world. Preach to Pastor Brian this morning as he preaches, and that you just get the glory for all of it. In Christ's name, amen.